This is the Evolve Marriage Podcast, episode 22. Today we're doing our third part in our Four Horsemen series. We're talking about defensiveness.
Hi, this is Kate.
And this is Eric.
And this is the Evolved Marriage Podcast,
where we have fun with growth and connection.
Thanks for joining us.
All right, let's go.
Hey everyone, welcome.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
How are you feeling, Kate?
I'm feeling... not sure how I'm feeling. I guess is neutral a feeling?
I don't know.
I feel like...
lethargic.
Fine. I feel fine.
Yeah, I feel apathy.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Oh.
I feel fine. I feel just okay. Like nothing is exciting me right now and nothing is making me angry or
calm.
Sad. I just feel... yeah, calm. Maybe calm is the right word.
Okay.
I feel calm. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm, you know, kind of doing the 75 hard, which has been fun. Nothing makes you feel more vain than taking a selfie every single day. Yeah, that's a lot of vanity happening.
I feel like a new rule for the 75 hard should be you need to send that selfie to your wife.
Oh, man. You know, it is funny, like... people talk a lot about like body dysmorphia or whatever, but I do think it's funny that when I take a selfie in the first 5 seconds, I'm like, yeah, you look amazing. And then after 5 seconds, it's like, but like you have a lot of hair on your chest and, oh, and like, what's going on with that? Oh, and you start like looking at your body in like this real, like realistic way of, oh, right. I just want to experience the first 5 seconds of every selfie I've ever taken.
Perfect. And then send I don't want the rest. I'll experience it for longer.
Amazing. Woo-hoo! I like it. I will say you have a lot of selfies coming your way. So today we're diving into our third part in our Gottman series. So we've been doing the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. So as some of you guys know Gottman's work, he's able to really predict whether or not a couple will get divorced to up to 90% accuracy based on these Four Horsemen. So today we're talking about defensiveness, which is something that we see a lot of in our marriage. It shows up quite a bit.
Who
every
does
now and then.
That? I don't do that. oh, wait. I
think
in
some
it.
Aspect we both do
I
it.
Just did
yeah,
it.
Maybe. But I do think it's quite common in marriages, mm-hmm, right? Especially
sure.
Long-term marriages.
Yes.
Right? I think short-term marriages, there's a lot more ownership. There's a lot more like... it could be a little more fiery, right? Mm-hmm. And I think long-term, it really becomes more about attack, defend, find the bad guy.
Do you think in newer marriages, it's just because they're not bringing that stuff up?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Right? Like, the honeymoon phase.
Everything is la-di-da.
Totally.
And all of a sudden, it's like, actually, I don't like when you do that. I don't do that.
Right. Yeah.
So really what defensiveness is when you kind of play the victim role. Nothing is ever your fault. You are always trying to counterattack a perceived attack. So I guess that's the best way I can define it, is really whenever Eric brings something up, I automatically see it as an attack towards me. So naturally, my response is to defend myself. No, I don't do that. Actually, no. And I know this frustrates Eric so much. And you brought it up today in one of our conversations. It feels like when he speaks to me, when he tries to open up to me, I counteract everything he says. So he'll say blue, I'll say green. He'll say white, I'll say black. He'll say up, I'll say down. Like it's constantly juggling a conversation with a defensive person can be very, very difficult.
Yeah, I think when the defensive horseman becomes a bit of an issue is when you get defensive over very normal things, mm-hmm, right? Where you, Kate, come back from running errands and I'm like, hey, did you pick up bread? And you're like, oh my God, like it wasn't on the list. Like, it's not my fault. Like,
you didn't tell me to get that.
Yeah, I brought a lot of stuff. Like, yeah. Can't you just be happy with what I have? And I'm just like, whoa.
Right. Like, and the problem with that is you're not taking responsibility for your part of the problem, or you're not taking responsibility for what, like, for example, for me, is I'm not taking responsibility. Oh, shoot, you're right. I forgot to get the bread. Like, I said I would and I forgot. I'll go back. I'll go get some, or, you know, maybe we can pick some up on the way to wherever we're going. So what you're actually saying there is the problem here isn't me, it's you. So this bread thing, like, not my fault. You're the problem.
Right.
You said you didn't put it on the list.
And I don't necessarily think it's all the time about you. It's just, it's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Could be traffic, mm-hmm. could be whatever. Like, there's all kinds of millions of examples, but the reality is you're not taking ownership mm-hmm. for a situation.
Yeah. And right? oftentimes what happens with a defensive person is they'll start making excuses for the way they're acting, which is something I'll do as well, is, well, the reason I'm doing that is because. And when you're making excuses, what this is telling your partner is you're not taking them seriously. You're not taking whatever they're bringing up seriously. So when Eric comes to me and he says, hey, it really hurts me when, and then I start making excuses. Well, the reason I don't do that is because, and I come up with all these excuses. I'm pretty much telling Eric that what you're saying isn't important to me. You're not important enough for me to take ownership of this and to do anything about it. So go ahead and talk, but I'm not going to listen. That's, to me, that's like what defensiveness is when your spouse is trying to open up to you.
Yeah. And I think also what can happen, because I totally agree with that. And I think one of the other issues that can often happen is we see a lot of people with perfectionist tendencies get really defensive.
Yeah, that's me.
Like, right. And I think it really comes from a place of, if I make a mistake, somehow that means that I am bad. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I cannot take ownership of any mistakes, because that says something about who I am as a human being.
Then I could be perceived as imperfect.
Yeah, because oftentimes you see the same tendencies in the people that are very defensive. They are often people pleasers.
Right.
Right. They mm-hmm. love making sure everybody's happy. They love making sure everybody's satisfied with themselves and all this kind of stuff. And I think what happens is when you start to talk about an issue or you have a complaint, defensiveness jumps in because somehow you think that you're a bad person, a bad wife, a bad spouse, a bad friend, you name it. But because somebody has a complaint about a situation that you were involved in.
Yeah. And what happens is when there's defensiveness in the marriage, usually, so say your spouse comes to you and wants to resolve something or speak to you about something, the problem is never resolved, and then the conflict escalates further and further, and it becomes, you know, more and more intense, and then it paves the other way for other horsemen. So this is actually what John Gottman says about defensive people, is they're actually pavers for horsemen, other horsemen to come in. You're pretty much, when you're becoming defensive and it's become this habit and it just happens over and over and over, it kind of just opens up this gate for the criticism horsemen to come in, the contempt horsemen to come in, because then what happens is, because I'm defensive, then I'll start, you always tell me that I'm doing that, which is criticism. And then the other person can come in and come back with a rebuttal. Well, you're just lazy, you know, you didn't take. And so it just becomes this vicious cycle because you just weren't able to take ownership of your mistake or part of the problem.
So if defensiveness is present in your marriage, what do we want to be doing instead? If you're a defensive spouse, what do we want to be doing?
I think the first step is definitely to start noticing. Notice that you're being defensive. Notice that when your spouse brings something up or asks you a question, what is your response? Is it actually to respond to them, or are you becoming defensive? So noticing is your first step. Secondly, it's learning to respond instead of reacting. Mm-hmm. So what that means is, if your spouse asks you, did you get some bread? Instead of going straight into defensiveness, I forgot, I didn't see it, excuses, excuses, excuses. The question was, did you get some bread? Which the answer is supposed to be yes or no. So my answer there, my response should be, no, I did not get some bread. The end. That's it.
Yeah. And then if your spouse wants to say, like, oh, like I had wrote it on the list, mm-hmm. then you can say, oh my God, I didn't see that. You know, I did not pick up bread. I didn't see that.
Exactly.
And that's it. And yeah. And that doesn't mean you have to run back to the store and get some bread.
No, it just, you know what I mean? Means I responded. oh, no, I didn't get it.
Yeah. But also, maybe they didn't put it on the list. And I was just like, oh, did you get some bread? And you're like, no, I didn't. I'm like, ah, okay, that's cool. I guess I thought about wanting bread when you were at Costco, but it's all good.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So that would be one way of responding. But say your spouse is opening up more about like their feelings. You know, I feel really hurt. I really feel like I wasn't really heard last night when I was trying to open up to you. The way you can respond to that is by asking questions. You know, tell me more about that. Or, you know, what was I doing that made you feel like you weren't being heard? Mm-hmm. Try to understand, just get curious and really ask questions in order to create this dialogue between you and your spouse to really try to come to a solution to a problem together as a team, instead of getting defensive and then ending up not coming up with a solution to that conflict.
Yeah. I think the ideal state that you want to get to is eventually, you know, taking full ownership for your side of the street, mm-hmm. right? Which is, you know, I am 100% responsible for my actions, my behavior. When I make mistakes, it's on me, right? And I got to own that. Mm-hmm. But I think when you're, again, starting to transition from full-on defensiveness and you think that, you know, you're trying to make nothing your fault and that somehow you think every time somebody has a complaint about their life, it has something to do with you. Mm-hmm. I think in order to move to a place where you take full ownership, you have to start taking these baby steps of like taking a breath, right? Being able to respond, being able to sit in that fire and try to understand where your partner's coming from.
Right. And I know for me, half the time when you go to ask a question, I won't even hear the words coming out of your mouth. I'm just like, oh no, he has a question. That means I did something wrong. So it's really learning, slow that down. Don't be afraid to ask. I'm so sorry. Got in my head. Can you please repeat your question? And bringing it back all the way to that step to really slow it down and really become aware of your defensiveness and when it happens and what are the triggers and really get used to it, just so you can start with that awareness, start working towards stopping the defensiveness.
Yeah. And I also think like setting a strong foundation for yourself is important in the sense of, you know, learning to accept yourself for exactly who you are, mm-hmm. right? Like as it's part of the human experience to make mistakes and mm-hmm. we learn from them. The reality is like you've made mistakes your whole life. You're going to make a million more mistakes. I think I've made like a million today. And I think it's really important to accept that that's part of the human experience. And a way to accept that is to make mistakes in a really safe way, mm-hmm. right? One of the things that, you know, I was practicing when I was trying to flex that muscles was I would openly screw up things, right? I'd be like, I would miss things on the list, or I would like go to the grocery store without a list and I'd come back and you know, Kay was like, did you pick this up? And I was like, no, I actually went out without a list. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's kind of ridiculous. But what I realize now is that we're still totally okay.
Yeah. Oh, we right? survived. We survived without that loaf of bread.
Yeah. And that it's actually okay to make these mistakes. And so if you can create this container for yourself to make these mistakes, I think it's really healthy for you to understand that these things are not the end of the world.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Right.
And that you're not a bad spouse or a bad human being if you make a mistake, because moving away from these perfectionist tendencies will probably give you a lot of freedom to experience joy and happiness in your life. Right.
Exactly.
So what if you're the spouse of the person who's quite defensive? What can you do in order to support them?
I think it's important for you as the spouse, when you're coming into a conversation, to be very clear about what it is that you're needing to talk about and to figure out before going into the conversation what the underlying issue is that you want to talk about. So go in with a goal, go in with an intent, and be very clear when you're talking to a person and affirm a lot of affirmations towards that person. You know, I love you and I've seen how much, you know, effort you're making when it comes to growing vegetables in our garden. But I just find sometimes the times that you're choosing to go outside is not the best time, because it's kind of a chaotic in the house. And I would really appreciate it if you were in the house helping me at that time instead of working in your garden. Is that something you can do? And so because you started with like a really soft, kind approach, I'm not as quick to fall into defensiveness if I'm the defensive partner. I heard the compliments. I heard the the question, I heard the request, and I might not fall into defensiveness right away. I'm not in the garden right all the time at that time. I don't do that, you know? So I think that going in with like a soft approach and really focusing on the problem, the underlying problem, and really being clear on what it is you need from your spouse, I think that is how you can show up as a spouse with a defensive partner.
Yeah. And I think also working together, right? This idea of like being a team together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that, that moment, instead of saying like, hey, like it's not a good time for you to go in the garden because it's chaotic, it's, hey, can we actually figure out what the priorities are for us,
right?
And find the best time for you to go in the garden so you're uninterrupted,
right?
Right. So you can spend more time in there, and you can spend all the time you want, so you don't feel pressured to come back in.
That would be even better. See, that's why I married you.
Right. And so I think this idea of, you know, bringing the discussion to a place where you're both working together to solve whatever this issue is, mm-hmm. right, that the person's being so defensive about, I think can really help. And I agree, like being a little more gentle about approaching it and affirming that, hey, you know, yeah, this thing happened and yeah, you made a mistake, but you're still this amazing human being. And it's mm-hmm. totally cool. Like we all make mistakes.
Yeah.
But I do think it's important for us to notice this and try to learn from it.
Right. Exactly. Like, you know, that bread example we've been doing. Did you get bread? No. Ugh. You know, we really need to get better at putting things on the list.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or, hey, we need to come up with a list system so we don't forget things, whatever it is.
You know, yeah, like, right. But, how can we work together to create that?
How can we work together? Exactly. And not falling into the blame game.
Yeah. You want to take us home?
Yeah. So that's it for us today. For everything we do, you can go to our website at evolvemarriage.com. If this is something that you're struggling with, Eric, he works specifically with men to create intimacy in their relationships and help them communicate better with their spouses in order to create a more intimate relationship. So definitely reach out to him. His information is on the website. Everything else is in the show notes. And please don't forget to share this episode with anybody who you think could benefit from it, because we really want to work together to co-create amazing marriages all over the world. Thank you so much for being here.
Love you guys. Bye.
Bye.